This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Starting Wednesday, we'll start working on Tampa, and that'll be good because a lot of the things they do have application to other teams that we'll see during the course of the year in all three phases of the game.
Be a real good opportunity for our football team.
Patriots podcast live from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough.
You guys give us a little quiet over here. Thanks.
Now, with your Patriots 2008 training camp updates, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Tuesday, August 12th, Gillette Stadium, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, back at it. Seems like we're always doing these podcasts alone, Paul.
I don't know why no one else wants to do a podcast.
Where is everyone else? But anyway, the Patriots.
I'm not.
Yeah, he's
I'm not doing it with you. No.
Patriots out on the practice field this afternoon for a two-hour single session on the regular practice fields behind Gillette Stadium. Actually poured to start practice. Then the sun came out and it was beautiful. And a lot of guys not on the practice field, Paul Perillo. Before I get to that, I just want to say one thing. The quarterbacks were on the field wearing white jerseys.
Well, the quarterbacks that were on the field.
Good point. And that's going to lead us right into our 19-man did-not-practice list.
All right. 17 guys in addition to the two members that are still left on PUP, Stephen Neal and Oliver Ross. Real quickly, we'll run these down. Matt Gutierrez.
Is that how we say it now?
Gutierrez. Jason Webster, Jonathan Wilhite, Mike Richardson.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
Antoine Spann. Lewis Sanders, Mike Wright, after being back off PUP last night, misses a practice this afternoon. Ryan O'Callaghan, Matt Light, Kelly Washington, Lamont Jordan, much to Andy's dismay. Rodney Harrison, much to my dismay. Kyle Eckel, Russ Hochstein, Steven Spock, Sam Aiken, and Lee Keevan Smith. So a lengthy list of guys out of uniform. I'm a little intrigued by Gutierrez. I don't know how you got. I think I might be the only one that's intrigued by this, but I'm wondering if he got sacked three times the other night. He by far had the largest playing time. Threw the ball 16 times, 19 if you count the three sacks, 19 attempts. I'm wondering if he got banged up a little bit and maybe this is going to be a long term thing.
I have no idea.
No, I don't have an answer for that.
But it's certainly worth considering. And I think it would really change the dynamic at backup quarterback because now whatever you think of Matt Cassel, you basically have to keep him. I mean, you're certainly not going into the season with Kevin O'Connell as your primary backup. I would have been hesitant to go into the season with even Matt Gutierrez as my primary backup, but at least he's been in the system a year, correct?
Gutierrez.
We're available. This can be heard.
I am told, in all seriousness, now, the reason why we're kind of pronouncing that a little bit funny is I'm told that that's how he prefers to have the name pronounced. So much like we do with Benjamin Watson and
Matthew Slater,
we're trying to honor that wish.
Ande Hart from now on.
Ande. Buenas noches, amigos.
Anyway, let's talk about the practice action. A little bit sloppy, I thought, from your offensive players.
Ragged.
A lot of balls hitting the ground.
I agree. And the defense, I thought, looked sharp at times, and then I thought they were frustrating the offense, and then all of a sudden the defense and Moss was taking a lap, including Pepper Johnson, Matt Patricia, and Dom Capers.
Yes.
Included in that group. So they did something that evidently didn't sit well.
Bill, actually, when they finished the lap, spent 30 seconds or 45 seconds talking to them and clearly wasn't happy with something. It wasn't something that was overly obvious. The play before they had to take the lap, they had sort of failed to diagnose a screen pass. I'm not sure if, it was posed in the tent. Maybe none of them yelled out screen or anything and that they got a little lackadaisical in their defense there. I didn't think it was the greatest practice. I thought sloppy all the way around at different points. As I said, so the offense had some balls hitting the ground. Some of the guys that stood out for the positive, I will say, David Thomas made a couple real nice catches, including one-handed catch. Wes Welker was his usual self, I thought. Aside from his first day or so back from PUP, he's been Wes Welker.
I thought today was the day that he looked the most like the 2007 camp version. I mean, he was unstoppable today.
No question. And not only running his underneath stuff, he caught, I want to say, Jeff Schoat, my new guy, going down the seam and just blew right by him for, Schoat was probably like everybody else thinking, oh, here's where he does the little wiggle and cuts left or cuts right, and he went right by him down the seam. Nice throw, catch. would have been a potential touchdown in a game. We should talk now on the other side of the ball, and obviously a lot of passing went on today. You can probably tell by what we're discussing. Some interesting mixes in the defensive backfield. Did a lot of nickel work today. So you had basically six guys up front, what they call the 3-3 front with three defensive linemen, three linebackers. Adalis Thomas slides inside a lot of times in the middle for that. Then in the secondary, you had Brandon Merriweather playing primarily in the slot when they had five defensive backs on the field. You had James Sanders and Mark Dillard playing at safety with Spahn and Harrison out. Dillard sort of slides up there. And then at the corners, you had Ellis Hobbs and Fernando Bryan as, quote-unquote, your starters. But then rotating in was Terrence Wheatley for both guys, so you ended up with different combinations of those three corners, but only playing on the outside with Merriweather always staying in the slot there.
Right.
So I think you're seeing some interesting roles develop in the secondary, and we just sort of talked about it. It almost looks like Hobbs, Bryan, and Wheatley are in a competition for the two starting corner jobs, but whatever guy doesn't win that doesn't necessarily slide into, quote, you know, your nickel job or your fifth corner job, his fifth defensive back job, he might slide into your sixth defensive back job. So it looks like Merriweather is clearly your fifth defensive back right now and is going to play in the slot with some safety corner hybrid duties.
Yeah, it certainly looks like exactly the way you described, Andy. Merriweather is the guy that's been in the slot. He stays out there now. The corners played in combinations. It was Wheatley and Bryant. It was Bryant and Hobbs. It was Hobbs and Wheatley. Those guys interchanged, where it seemed like Merriweather stayed out there and that third corner never got out there unless they went to six. I think that's an interesting point. You brought it up in the tent. It might just be today. It may not be anything going forward, but we have kind of speculated that Merriweather seems to be the nickel back. And to me, the fact that you had Harrison not there today kind of tells me that Merriweather probably is that nickel back because you would have, you would think that you would put one of the corners out there, not Mark Dillard as one of the safeties.
If you were going with your best five defensive
backs,
you'd figure Merriweather slides to where Dillard was today, and those three corners we mentioned that
I
were rotating would be out there. So just something to keep an eye on as the preseason action groupings, and you start to get a feel for what the quote-unquote first defense is and how they, sub-packages move through there. One of the guys back out there, as you mentioned, Mike Wright came off the PUP last night, as did Jarvis Green. Those guys, Wright not out there, but Green was out there today taking reps at right defensive end, his usual spot behind Seymour, rotating through. Then he met with the media after practice and talked about the fact that he lost a little weight this summer. He's feeling good.
No, I just wanted to get a little lighter. I mean, usually when you have surgery, guys tend to eat more and hanging around eating bonbons, watching the stories. But just come out here, feel a lot better. I'm about 280 right now. And I'll just try to do something different. My playing weight is 285, but it's up and down. I was going to be ready for the beach,
Apparently, Jarvis Green shares something with my grandmother. She calls soap operas
stories.
The stories.
My mother used to call them my
Holy
stories,
Moses.
Too. Of course, my son now calls them my programs.
Wow.
But definitely, my stories.
Very interesting. But we talked a little bit about that, Paul. It's interesting. We wondered coming in the last week or so, the defensive line, and if those two guys remained on PUP, at what point are they, in fear of being on PUP to start the year? You get both of them back now off PUP. Might change the roster dynamic a little bit.
Yeah, I thought Wright had a really good chance to start the season on PUP. I didn't think Green would because I think he has been a staple part of this defense since he's been here, really. So I kind of thought that he would, work his way back and Bill would be pretty comfortable with him as long as he was ready to go physically before the start of the season. Right, I was a little surprised to see him come off PUP. I thought he'd be a guy that maybe you try to keep fresh and work that six-week window to your advantage. But he's back. Now, he was out today. I don't know. I would assume that's just kind of a maintenance thing. You want to work him back in slowly. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. But I do think guys like Santonio Thomas, Lee Kevin Smith, your boy Steve Fifita, and all of those guys, even though, Fifita is more of an inside guy, a nose tackle, whereas some of the other guys maybe have some versatility. But all of those guys, I think, could be impacted by this.
Okay.
Yes.
And one guy, I don't want to stomp on a grave here, a couple notes out of practice regarding Chad Jackson. First of all, had a chance for a play of the day type play, bomb down the left sideline where he beat Ellis Hobbs, got a step on him. Brady lofts it up there. May have been a quarter yard overthrown, but a good throw where you need to have that burst to haul it in. It went through his hand slash deflected off his fingertips, couldn't bring it in, and to me was sort of symbolic of Chad Jackson's camp.
Something's missing. Something's missing with Chad Jackson, and I can't put my finger on it. I don't know exactly what it is, But that's the kind of play that we read extensively about him making coming out of college. You know, that burst, that speed that he had that was a little bit different, you know, that made him special, made him the guy that ran whatever the 4.3 mm-hmm. at that combine that you were at. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. I can't identify it, but I'm just disappointed is the only way. I mean, I know it sounds kind of patronizing, but I'm disappointed. I was expecting more.
I'm disappointed, too, because I thought he was going to be great. He certainly hasn't reached that level yet, and I think at this point is a fight for a roster spot. Another interesting note with
Very
Chad
well
Jackson, you look at punt return work that they worked on all day long. We get into the real nitty-gritty now of training camp moving towards a regular season. The guys back deep are Wes Welker and Kevin Falk, whereas you rewind it to about 7 days ago, guys back deep. Chad Jackson got every rep with the first group.
Yep.
C.J. Jones was second. You saw what C.J. Jones did in the preseason opener where he made a bad decision catching one inside the five, fumbled one, sort of had a bad game, and those two guys are now on scout team, and the real deal guys are out on the punt return team. So I think that's sort of shows that business is picking up, as they would say, and you're getting closer and closer to real action, and you know the guys had their opportunities. If they couldn't grab them by the horns, it's time to move on. They may have done that. And then one last note out of practice, Jeff Hostetler. Won a Super Bowl with Bill Belichick with the Giants, but is also the uncle of rookie free agent tight end Jonathan Stupar, right?
That's correct.
At practice
he
today.
He was out there today. Maybe the, as you pointed out in the tent, maybe the backup quarterback problems are solved.
Could be. I think he's got a chance. I don't know. He's probably like 50 at this point.
Looked to be in good shape,
Looked like he was in good shape. I'd say sign him up. But another exciting practice day in the books. Single sessions the rest of the way for the rest of the week.
Two more
Thursday.
Days to catch the Patriots training
2:30 tomorrow afternoon. Get your butt down here to Gillette Stadium if you're within driving distance. Should be nice weather, I think, based on the weather reports we're seeing.
Yeah.
Enjoy the show and take that last opportunity to see the Patriots before they get to the regular season and start putting on the real show. That's going to wrap up another Patriots.com training camp podcast. For Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, peace out.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.